Okay, this evening we want to take a look at a very special psalm. I think every time I study a psalm, I think this is the best one. And then I study another one and I say, well, this is the best one. They're all the best. All of them are the best because all the psalms are about Christ. All the psalms are about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Verse 2, sing unto the Lord. Notice it says three times. Sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation. It's His salvation. It's His. He planned it, purposed it, executed it, applies it, sustains us. So I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 2, show forth His salvation. Show it forth. That means to proclaim it, to declare it, hold nothing back, show it forth. Declare it, proclaim it, not explain it, but declare it. Paul said in Acts 20 when he was departing those elders from Ephesus, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. And then again he said to the same group of elders, I've shunned not to declare unto you all the counsel of God from day to day, every day, preaching publicly and privately, showing forth God's salvation. We studied in Psalm 70 some years ago, let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Isn't that our heart's cry? It's His salvation, and we declare what the Lord has done for His covenant people. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eye. This is the church's desire, and certainly desire of every servant of the Lord. That is our aim, and that is our goal in the ministry here, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't come together to entertain folks, or to browbeat folks, or to beat up on folks. We come here to feed the church of God that He purchased with His own blood with the Word of truth. That's what we're commanded to do. We preach not ourselves, do we? We preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned there where it says Psalm 96, the reference is to 1 Chronicles 16. When the Lord blessed King David to bring the Ark of God back to the city of David, God gave him these inspired words of praise and worship unto the Lord. And you can read exactly what it says in this psalm. You can turn to 1 Chronicles 16 and read the same words. It was a special time for David. He was so happy and delighted that the Ark of God had been returned back to Jerusalem. Remember one time the Philistines stole it, remember? Now it's been recovered, and David brings it to the city of God to worship around that ark. The Ark of God, or the Ark of the Covenant, we know is a type and picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For on that Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. Blood was put on that mercy seat on the Day of Atonement once a year. That is where the high priest made atonement for the sin of God's people. That is where God said that He would meet with men, and men would meet with Him on that mercy seat. And all that is a picture of what? Christ, our mercy seat. That's where we meet God, and that's where we come to believe and rest in God's promise in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ declares good news. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Christ is our atonement. He is our propitiation. That's the only way we can worship God. Only way we can worship God, how? Is in Christ and Him crucified. That's the only way we can approach God. That's the only way we can come to God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, our Lord said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And then He said, no man come to the Father but by and through me. It's His sacrifice. It's His atonement. His righteousness. His faithfulness. That's the only way we can come to God, seeing we have a great high priest. You remember Hebrews 4? It says, seeing we have a great high priest, we come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, verses 1 and 2 again, as I pointed out, notice, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation. Now, did you notice three times it says, sing unto the Lord? I can't help but think of the Trinity singing to the Lord. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sing unto the Lord. Three times. What is this song that we sing unto the Lord? Well, we know it's a song of redemption. You remember Psalm 98, turn one page. Psalm 98, 1. Psalm 98, 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And we know it's a song of redemption. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, and blessing both now and forever. Sing unto the Lord a new song. For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly shown in the sight of the heathen. So the song that we sing is a song of redemption. Worthy is the Lamb. And notice, it's a new song. It's a new song. Everything revolving around the gospel is the new song of redemption. Now everything about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is new to us. We've been made new creatures in Christ. We've been given a new name. Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, ordered in all things, and is sure. Christ is a surety of a better covenant. We sing this threefold praise unto the Lord, the Father who chose us, remember, to the praise of the glory of His grace, to the Son who redeemed us, Ephesians chapter 1, remember, to the praise of the glory of His grace, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and to God the Holy Spirit who sealed us with that Holy Spirit of promise, all again to the praise of the glory of His grace. These three are one. And we sing praises to our great God and Savior. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God has such unity and oneness? These writers, for the most part, never knew one another, but God the Holy Spirit gave them the same message. Look at verse 2 and 3. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day, and declare His glory. Show forth His salvation and declare His glory. Who gets all the glory and salvation? We don't, do we? Declare His glory. And it keeps mentioning in this psalm the heathen. Declare it among the heathen, unbelievers, ungodly men. And declare His wonders among all the people. Declare, we declare not only gladly sing unto the Lord of Him and about Him, His mercies, His love, His grace freely given to us, His goodness and the love of God to us. Have you noticed how many times in our study in the book of Acts that the apostles talk about the love of God? You know how many times it's mentioned in the book of Acts, the love of God, the love of God. Everybody in this day talked about, don't get me wrong, don't misunderstand me, God is love. But how many times did the apostles say in the book of Acts, smile, God loves you? How many times in all the book of Acts did they even mention the word love? Not one time. Not one time. Isn't that amazing? They talked about Christ. And when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the love of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't go around saying, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. That wasn't the message. Their message was declare His salvation. Salvation's in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So declare declare His glory among the heathen. Declare His glory among the heathen, and then bless His name. Bless His name. Bless His name, all the earth. His wonders. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all God. Bless His name, as David says in Psalm 103. Turn over there just a couple pages. Bless His name. This is another one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 103. Sing unto the Lord and then bless His name. Bless the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We bless His name, His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Wow. Everybody wants a good job with benefits, don't they? Boy, the benefits the Lord gives are tremendous. None like that. Forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy diseases, who healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, we have a lot to bless the Lord about, don't we? Bless the Lord. Bless His name. Bless His name. Bless His name. God given Him a name which is above every name. At that name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then we show forth His salvation. Declare His salvation, His doing. He purposed it, finished it, accomplished it. We preach Him who accomplished our salvation, don't we? That's our message. We preach Him who accomplished salvation. He said, it is finished. And then verse 3 says, declare His glory. Bless His name, show forth His salvation, declare His glory. When the gospel of Christ is preached, we declare His excellency, not ours. We shut out all creature merit and doing. And we tell sinners to look unto Christ. Declare His glory among the heathen. Declare it, declare it, declare it. Because all glory is due to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And then it says here, declare His wonders. You know, everything the Lord does is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Declare His wonders. Everything about the gospel is wonderful, for His name is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You remember Psalm 111? Turn over there. Psalm 111, verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is wonderful. Declare His wonders. Salvation is a declaration of all that He has done for us. All that He has done for us. Now, verse 4 and verse 5. Or we can read that word for as because. Why do we declare His glory? Why do we declare His wonders among all people? Because the Lord is great. That's why. And the Lord is great because the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared. Holy and reverent is His name. He's to be feared above all idols of men, gods of men. For the idols of men, the gods of men, and the nations, their idols are nothing. But the Lord created the heaven and the earth. What has an idol created? Nothing. They're dumb and stupid, right? Turn to Psalm 115. Remember this? Psalm 115, I get quite amused that when I read this, the heathen said, where is your God, David? Psalm 115, verse 2. Where is your God? Our God's in the heavens, done whatsoever He's pleased. The idols Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they don't smell. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they do not walk. Neither speak they through their throat. What can a lump of stone do? They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth them. Isn't that a powerful scripture? Idols. They're nothing. Nothing. Now back to the text. The Lord is greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Why? Look at Psalm 95, verse 3. Psalm 95, 3. For the Lord is great. The Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He is to be feared. The last part of verse 4, Psalm 96, verse 4. He is to be feared among all gods. Holy and reverent is His name. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Remember? The fear of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 111 again. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Holy and reverent is His name. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Sing unto the Lord. Fear Him. Because we fear God, we fear not men. He is to be feared above all, because all other gods are nothing but idols. They can create nothing and do nothing. Did I ever tell you that story about the little boy in Mexico that Walter Gruber had met, and Walter Gruber had preached the gospel to him, and the little boy was brought to believe the gospel by the grace of God? And he went home to his family. His family had all these different idols set around in their house and worshiping these dead, dumb idols. And the little boy said, "The God who is the true God is the living God, not these dead idols." And of course, the father didn't like to hear that. But the little boy insisted, because God had given him faith in the true and living God. And one day his father went to town and left the little boy there with all those idols in that room. And the little boy went in the workshop of his daddy and grabbed a hammer and started hammering all them idols, smashing them to pieces. But one idol. He left one idol. And he put that idol down on the table and brought that hammer back and laid it down beside that idol. And when his daddy returned from town and saw all his idols smashed to pieces, he said to his little boy, "Who smashed all my idols?" And the little boy said, "See that hammer by that idol? That idol did that." And he said, "Silly boy, an idol can't do anything like that. An idol can't do nothing." He said, "That's exactly what I've been trying to tell you." It makes a good point, doesn't it? An idol can't do anything. An idol can't pick up that hammer, yet alone create the heavens and the earth, yet alone put away sin, yet alone save sinners by God's grace. So he's to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God created the heavens and the earth. Spoke all things into existence. He made everything out of nothing by His decree. Now, when we make things, we take things that He's created and build things. But He created everything from nothing. Just the will of His power. There it was. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, verse 6 says, "Who can be compared unto the Lord? Honor and majesty are before Him." All honor, all majesty, just as high as you can imagine that God is to be honored. We give Him all the honor and glory now, but not only now, but for all eternity. Our dear departed brother David Yates, right now, is worshiping God like we should. Giving Him, He's singing with that redeemed crowd, "Worthy is the Lamb who receives all honor, glory, blessing, and power both now and forever." We know a little bit about that here. We know in part, and we preach in part. Brother David knows it fully now. He's not walking by faith anymore. He's walking by sight, seeing the Lord face to face. All honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty. I love these words. Four great words. Honor, majesty, strength, and beauty are in His dwelling place, in His sanctuary. Honor and majesty about His throne. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Strength and beauty are in His temple. Strength and beauty are in His church. Our strength is Christ. Remember He said, when you are weak, that's when you're strong. Christ is our refuge. Christ is our strength. He is the beauty. He is our beauty. And He is our strength. Is He not? The beauty of holiness. Christ, He is our beauty. Christ, He is our righteousness. In His church, in His people, we appear in the presence of God in the beauty of holiness in Christ Jesus. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I asked that question at the funeral on Monday. How good do we need to be to stand before God accepted? As good as God. How can that be? Only in Christ. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ we're accepted in the Beloved. Now, that being so, honor and majesty belong to Him, and they're before Him. Strength and beauty, they're His. And they're ours in Him. Now, give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord. That is, we don't add anything to the Lord, nor do we bring anything to the Lord. How is it that we give unto the Lord? We acknowledge, freely acknowledge, that the Lord is due all honor and glory and strength and power and sovereignty. The Lord reigns. We're going to see that in verse 10. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due His name. Honor to whom honor is due. Remember? Bring an offering and come into His courts. Now, when David, you can go back and read. You remember what David did when they brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem, and they put that Ark on the priest's shoulders, and they carried that Ark. And David was so elated because they walked just a short step, and God didn't kill him. David stopped the whole train, and he brought seven bullocks and seven lambs, and worshiped God around the blood substitute. And that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring an offering, but the offering we bring is the offering the Lord Jesus Christ has given for us. Himself. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood. But the offering we bring, that is believing the gospel and worshiping God in Christ, is sacrifices of praise and honor unto the Lord. Let me see if I can read that to you. Don't turn. Let me just read this one to you. This is found in Hebrews 13. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's the offering we bring. Praise and honor and worship to our God, who was worthy of all honor, as we read a moment ago, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, and blessing. We sing unto the Lord. We bless His name. We show forth His salvation. We declare His glory and praise. Now we give unto Him all the glory and honor that's due unto Him. How many times through the book of Psalms do we read, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. You know, it's a good thing to repeat that which is true. Praise ye the Lord. Again and again, praise ye the Lord. Give glory unto His name. Now look at verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. It's not our desire to worship the Lord. Now what we've gathered in His name, the Father seeketh us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look back just up the page there. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, and we are the sheep of His hand. Today, hear His voice. Worship the Lord. That's why we meet together, to preach and teach the Word and to worship Him around the gospel of His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship Him, give Him all the honor and glory. Look at verse 10 now. What should we say among the heathen? Or what shall we say among those who do not believe the gospel? Well, we just say, smile, God loves you. We just say that Christ died for you. We just say that Christ died for all the sins of all men everywhere. That's not what we say. That's not our message. That's not the message of the gospel. We say to the heathen, to the unbeliever, the Lord reigneth. He reigns supreme. He's the sovereign God. Grace reigns through righteousness and eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Saying to Him, the Lord our God reigneth. He reigneth. He reigneth. Now notice just how many times right here in these few Psalms that He repeats that statement. Look at Psalm 93 verse 1. Psalm 93:1. The Lord reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He has girded Himself. The Lord reigneth. Again, it says down here in Psalm 97, verse 1, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Don't you rejoice that the Lord reigns? Let the multitude of the islands be glad thereof. And then Psalm 99, verse 1. Boy, it just keeps repeating it over and over again, doesn't it? The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Psalm 99:1. Now, don't turn to this one. Let me turn and read it. In Isaiah 52, we've read this many times. How beautiful, verse 7, upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. He reigns in creation, sovereign in creation. We often say sovereign in providence. The things He brings to pass, He decreed from eternity. He declared all of His works from the beginning. And He reigns. What's that third one? He reigns in salvation, doesn't He? He's sovereign in salvation. He will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. The Father has given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given Him. So then it's not of Him that willeth, nor of Him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Back to Psalm 96. Saying to the heathen, the Lord reigneth. Declare His glory among the heathen. The world also, verse 10, shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. All judgment. Remember,
Our Lord said, no, the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. All judgment is relative to the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth shall be established. Salvation is established upon the word of the Lord, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people with righteousness. Now, verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice. The earth shall be established because the Lord reigneth. Now, let the heavens rejoice. You remember Psalm 19? What does it say? The heavens declare the glory of God. See, all of creation declares the glory of God. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea, you know, have you ever been to the beach? I know y'all have. And that waves, you hear just a constant roar, don't you? A constant roar. What is that roar saying? The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. That's what it's saying. The wind through the trees, blowing in the storms, the clouds and the lightning, the thunder. What does it say? What's the message? The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth over all things. The heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. The sea roar. The fullness thereof. All those creatures in the sea. What do they say? The Lord reigneth. Verse 12. Let the field be joyful. The heavens, the earth, the sea, the field. Let the field be joyful. You just imagine. You ever? We like to drive across the country, across the plains of Kansas and Nebraska, and you see those wheat fields just as far as the eye can see. And that wind and the breeze will blow that wheat in the wind, and it just moves and it waves, and the whole wind and the whole field. Do you know what the field is saying? The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. You see, all creation gives God all the honor and glory. Believers are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Remember? Verse 13. Before the Lord. Everything is before the Lord, is it not? For He cometh. You remember that one verse in the Revelation chapter 1 where it said, Behold, He cometh. Behold, He cometh. Remember what I told you what that means? It means He's on His way. He cometh. He's on His way. Before the Lord, let us be joyful. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice. For He cometh. The Lord's coming back. He came the first time to judge our sin and to put away our sin. He came the first time to seek and to save those who are lost. When He comes back again, He comes back again to take His people home to Him. But I tell you what else will take place. For He cometh to judge the earth. It's appointed that a man wants to die after that judgment. Now watch this. For He cometh to judge the earth, and He shall judge the world with righteousness. The standard of that judgment we're going to see in Acts chapter 17, where Paul said God has appointed a day that He will judge this world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and your relationship with that man. All judgment is relative to that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people. Now there's a difference here. The people with His truth. His people, the people, with His truth. The standard of judgment is not set by any creature. The standard of judgment is based upon His holiness. All judgment is relative to the Lord Jesus Christ. we are either judged in Him and are sinned and crucified with Him. We are either judged in Him and forever redeemed and justified. For there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we'll be judged by Him and cast out forever. We're either judged in Him or judged by Him. Those in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. What about those outside of Christ? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. All judgment is relative to the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Lord, He cometh. Isn't that a good psalm? Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing and bless His name. Show forth His salvation. Declare His glory, His wonders among the people.